Hello, I'm Yusuf, Babu known in the cricketing world, Yusuf Rezaur Rahman. Welcome to my store. This is something that is being presented to the community as not just a cricket store, but as a general sports store that will offer a variety of items covering cricket and soccer and hopefully some other sports. I have played cricket at the international level for Bangladesh for a number of years. And then since I've been in the US, I have my own business, which is in dietary supplements, of all things. But this has always been my passion since I played cricket. And I've always been involved with the game, you know, having played a bit here in the US, also organizing a bit, and also writing a lot about it. I'm also one of the cricket analysts connected with the Voice of America, which is the Bangla program, and they have it in DC. So whenever there's an international cricketing event and Bangladesh is in it, I'm always called up and I give my reviews post-match and pre-match. And then whenever there's a world event, I'm there. I have also written quite a lot for Bangladesh newspapers covering global events pertaining to cricket. So cricket has been in my blood for a long time. It still is, and just can't get away from it, no matter how much I try. It's YB Sports Junction is the name of the store. YB stands for Yusuf Babu. Because what I thought was of bringing the history of Bangladesh cricket to the community here. And, you know, the Bangladeshi community of this generation, they have little or no knowledge about the history of the game as far as Bangladesh is concerned. And this tells them a little bit about the history. Plus, what we have done here is we have actually highlighted some of the major events, you know, accomplishments of Bangladesh players over the years since 1976-77, when Bangladesh first played at the international level against a visiting MCC team from England, and I happened to be playing in that match. So we have highlighted and brought to the community here, or whoever walks into the store, and it tells them the accomplishments of teams and players of the Bangladesh national side right up to the present day. So this, I thought, was something like a picture gallery that people could connect to and at least learn a little bit about the history of the game. It tells about Bangladesh cricket and from rags to riches. That's the story of Bangladesh cricket. Because when we played the game, we had very little funding to support the game. So the players paid for their own gears, for the game itself, very little money. Today, the players are millionaires. So we are talking about a span of like 30 years, 40 years. So it's incredible. That's why from rags to riches, you have, this is the very first Bangladesh team. The very first, January 1977. See, the logo has also changed, because if you look at it, this was the original logo. And now we have the Bangladesh Tiger. The cricket has grown in the US dramatically. You know, if you go to any park in any of the major cities in any state, you'll find them playing cricket in the summer. I mean, states like Minnesota, they have such a tremendously organized league, whether it is Minnesota, California, Florida, Texas. They're playing all over the country, and it's growing. Schools are playing now. Schools are getting involved, you know. Their coaching programs coming in. And the ICC is doing a tremendous job in promoting the game, in actually putting the structure properly. They've got, you know, programs. They've got leagues. They're training. They're playing at the international level. There's a lot of publicity. The ICC has, within the last couple of years, made tremendous progress in getting cricket firmly rooted in this country. I'm not saying that cricket will be like soccer, but is definitely going to be played by a lot of people in this country for years to come. Yeah. Well, the first match they played was against Canada. You know, and they have had this rivalry for a long time. Long time. You know, that was the first international. And you will not believe there's a place in Staten Island. The Australian team came to play cricket there. And this Australian team was one of the best teams in the world. Yeah, they had some of the greatest players. Don Bradman came. Yeah, some of the greatest players came. And that clubhouse is still there in Staten Island. I went and played there a few years ago. Just a friendly match there. The US has had its cricket connections for a long, long time. It's just that it has not been organized in the way that it should have been organized. You know, because of people who were looking after their own interest rather than the game itself. And that sort of delayed matters. But now things are changing, so which is good. When we talk about structure, we talk about not just everything being centralized and the power of doing everything under just a handful of people. It needs to be laid out, you know. It has to be spread. There has to be proper organizations, responsibilities, decentralized, and you spread it, just like any other sport. That was not happening here. A few individuals ran it their way. They controlled everything. They controlled the money. They controlled whatever they wanted. So for that reason, it did not spread at the rate it should have spread, which is sad, until the ICC got involved. And the ICC tried for a long, long time to get these people to change, but they never did. So ultimately, the ICC banned the US. You know, USACA as an organization, which was the official organization representing the USA, was banned and is still banned. So now it's called ICC Americas, and it's managed, and it's USA Cricket. You see, ICC Americas is the organization, and USA Cricket is the brand. That's what, you know, they've been playing under. So we can see, because now they're playing in different levels of the ICC tournament. Now in level 2. Level 2, right? Yeah, Division 3. So, and they work their way up. So hopefully they'll get to a level at a time when they will be... I mean, imagine if they have the right structure. So many countries have made it. Can you imagine a country like Afghanistan, which probably started playing cricket maybe 10 years ago? They started playing cricket in a war-torn country. Mm. That team was being trained in Pakistan, in Peshawar. That team now is in the top 15 teams in the world. You know, they have qualified for the World Cup. They are a test-playing country just like Bangladesh and Australia. They have gone into that level now. So, country like Nepal, who would think that Nepal, of all the countries, would be... Now Nepal has got the one-day international status because they had the right structure. Canada is there, Ireland, and the Netherlands. So all these countries have come up because they wanted to do it. They had the right structure. It's the same thing. The US is now on the right track, and it's going to happen. One of the best things the US has, nobody can market it better than the US. They are masters at it. So the marketing side is there. The structure is there. The participation is there. Now you have the youth level. They're coming up. They're playing. They're taking serious interest. And with the world being globalized, cricket now is in everybody's living room. Every international match is covered. You'll find something very interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine who is connected with the International Cricket Conference. He's a development officer with the ICC, a Bangladeshi friend. He's a lot junior to me. He played cricket for Bangladesh. In fact, he's the first century maker in Test Match cricket for Bangladesh. His name is Aminul Islam Bulbul. I talked to him quite often, and he told me something very interesting. He said, do you know that after the subcontinent, which is India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, North America is the second largest viewing country of cricket in the world? Second largest. And the market is huge. People are bringing international cricket. In Florida, we have international cricket matches being played. There's a Caribbean league that is played, a professional league, and we have matches being played in Florida. At least 2-3 matches are played there every season. And then international teams come and play. So the American cricket community is getting physical exposure, live exposure of players, of international players in this country. So that helps. The diversity is there, you know, kids are playing. So now it's a larger group. Women are playing cricket now. Now girls are playing cricket. You know, they have a women's team. They've gone to Australia. So they're traveling, they're playing, they're getting exposure. So ICC knows what to do. You know, they're trying to globalize cricket. The most special thing about this game is it is the greatest leveler of man. What do I mean by that? Say, for example, a player goes in, he plays against a very tough team, and he scores 100. And he's at the top. Everybody's talking about it, the media, fans, they all support him. He's right up there. 2 days later, he can walk into a game against an ordinary side and get out first ball. Brings him right where he was. It's the greatest leveler. And I see that happen all the time. I've seen it happen all the time. Even in my case, I mentioned in my book, in that very match in 1977, the first match that Bangladesh played against a foreign team, I top scored in that match. I was the man of the match. And believe me, prior to that January 6th, on January 6th, I was Yusuf, known to my friends and family and all that. On January 7th, I was a household name in a country of almost 12 to 15 million people. Every villager knew my name because it was all over. On January 7th, the tour was over. After about 2 weeks, I played my domestic league match. I got a first ball. I couldn't score a run. I mean, the whole country, here I was right there, you know, brought me right back. So that's why I say it's the greatest leveler of man. Apart from that, this is one game that teaches you so many aspects of life itself that you could use. It teaches you leadership. It teaches you how to persevere. It brings passion. If you don't have passion, you can't. It teaches you passion. It teaches you discipline, how to be disciplined. All these aspects that one can use for use in daily life, you know. This is the game. It teaches, like just like any other sport, it teaches you all these things, provided you're looking at it from that angle. You know, you got to look for it. Because without discipline, you can't do anything. Without discipline means you have to train hard, you have to be there on time, you got to think about it. It teaches you teamwork because you have to work as a team. You know, so all these characteristics are there. So that's why I say it's definitely more than, it's not just a game that is played there. It's much more than a game. And it teaches you, it's all about respect. The game is all about respect. As I tell to a lot of my younger players and the youngsters of today, that you must learn how to respect the game. When I say respect the game, I mean not just the activity on the field, but you must know how to respect your own equipment. You know? I can tell you one thing. If any player goes to a cricket bat manufacturing facility and he sees what goes into making a bat, he's not going to throw the bat around. You know, he will have respect for that, at least if not for the, but the person who made the bat, because it's handmade. You know, there's so much of work, time, devotion that this man makes a bat for who knows who's going to play with it. Once you see this person's work, his passion, you can't help but respect that bat. You know, so respect, you respect the gears, you respect the officials, you respect the crowd. Of all the things, you have to respect the crowd, because the crowd is what is going to get you going. You're playing in a stadium of, let's say, 30,000 people are watching you, and you never react to the crowd, because when a crowd is there, he can just as much cheer you when again you get 100 or you get a wicket, you take a fantastic, and the crowd goes, he has every right to boo you if you fail. But if you take that personally, you are the one who is going to lose, because you never get involved with the crowd. Crowd will, he might abuse you, he might boo you, but if you react, everybody is going to see and know that you're the one who reacted, because the press will cover it, television channel will cover it. Nobody will look at that individual because he's gone. So you have to respect the crowd. You never get into entanglements. You respect the crowd, and the crowd will respect you. So many players have gotten into trouble. They react, and then what happens? The governing body comes in. You're not supposed to. There are certain rules that, you know, it's a code of conduct is there. So a player cannot react and get involved with the crowd. He cannot go and start a fight or something, you know. Those are certain rules that the ICC lays out. So you're the one who's going to lose. You lose your match fee, you might get suspension. But the crowd is a nobody. He's just an individual who's gone. So you never, never, never react to the crowd. We see that happening quite often. I have formed and structured my life based on what I learned from the game. Queens is the hub of cricket. If you talk about cricket in America, you have to talk about Queens. You know, it's so big. It's the Queens area. They've got a huge, not just a Bangladeshi community, but the Caribbean community. These are the two communities that are heavily involved in this game. So if you go to any park in Queens, summertime, you'll see they're playing cricket. So this is the place, you know, and it's growing. I mean, I know for a fact that the New York Bangladesh Cricket League is now scrambling because they don't have enough grounds to host teams, because every year the number of teams, the more and more kids want to play. You know, so it's a tremendous challenge. And I don't know, it's about time that the city gets involved, you know, at least gives them proper grounds, because the grounds that they play here are awful. Believe me, the pitches and the field, they're really, really bad. So it's time that if they can actually get some proper cricketing ground. If you want to have a decent cricket match, you need to have an area of at least 60, 65 yards from the center of the pitch. I mean, generally it's 75 yards and beyond. But that doesn't mean that you cannot have a match that is 50 yards. Because there are many, many international grounds where international matches are played, where one side of the boundary, which is the rope, you know, one side of the boundary could be about 50 yards or 45 yards. But on the other side, it could be 100 yards. As long as you have about 60, 65 yards, you could have a decent game of cricket. You know, so that is something which... But here what happens is, in the park, you have two grounds, but one overlapping with the other, you know, and the fielders have to make their adjustments, you know. But that's the way they want to play, you know. They forget all that just because they want to play. Just like the NYPD has their own league, the Caribbean, the Commonwealth Cricket Club, and sorry, the Commonwealth League is played, that is played in the Bronx, Van Cortlandt Park, right?
Yes.
They play there. Then the NYBCL, which is a New York Bangladesh Cricket League. So there are a few other leagues that are being played. In Long Island, there are a few leagues being played. So there are a lot of leagues. It's about time that there should be one tournament, a competition where there would be representative teams from each of the leagues and they play for a grand competition, you know. So the best team from the Commonwealth League, the best team from a selected team representing the New York Bangladesh League and the other leagues, they can have a tournament. Question is whether they have the time and the grounds to stage that league. So you're looking at 15 players, 40 teams, just in one league. And then you have the Commonwealth League. How many teams in the Commonwealth League?
Close to like 85.
So you look at 85 teams in the Commonwealth League. That's one of the probably largest leagues in the U.S. in St. Queens, yeah. So, and it's growing. Kids want to play. You know, now with the television, the matches being live brought to them, and they see their stars playing, they want to play. I would recommend, let's say, a youngster to start off not to go and buy an English willow bat. There are two different types of willow. The English willow makes the better quality bats. And then you have the Kashmir willow, which is the same willow tree but grown in the northern parts of India and Pakistan, that region. That is not as good, but it's still good enough for a beginner. And the reason I would recommend the Kashmir willow is because of pricing, obviously. English willow bats are expensive. English willow bats can range anything from $75 all the way to $400, $500, sometimes $600. Depends on the grade of the bat that you buy. So, but an average player who has actually played cricket, you know, he wants to play club cricket, what I would recommend to those players is not to spend too much money on a cricket bat because of the condition of the league that they're playing in. You know, the grounds are not good. The balls that they use are not very good. So you are buying a $300, $400 bat on a pitch that is not very good. The balls are not very good. You damage your bat. You know, the bat is going to... So I would recommend you stick to a bat between 150 to 250, that range. And you'll get a very good bat at that price, at least in our store, you'll get a very good bat. If you spend anything between $150 to $250, you'll get an excellent bat, you know, which is going to be very good for good quality competitive cricket. The other thing what they need to have here is proper coaching programs. You know, there's all the teams, all the leagues that are playing, they're busy playing. They just want to play. But they need to develop coaches. One thing is they need to develop coaching program for the kids, beginners, but they need to develop their own coaches. They need to develop their own umpires. That's how you're going to develop the sport. You cannot just be going and playing, because if you're just coming and playing, you're doing it for your own purpose. That's a selfish interest. What you need, if you really want to leave something behind and grow the game, then you got to develop the foundation of it, which is coaches and umpires. Umpires, you need good officials to conduct the matches, and coaches to make sure that your pipeline is not dried out. And the best thing to do is go to the clubs and tell them, you nominate two guys for umpires and nominate one or two guys who wants to become coaches. And I can, with my connection in the ICC, bring help from them to conduct coaches program, umpires program. We can do that to help train those. Yeah. And eventually, they have different levels. You have the beginners level, then you finish beginners. You do 3 months of coaching. You go to level two and so on and so forth. And you, once you have done level two, level three, you are a qualified coach that can coach even, not just a club team, you can coach representative sides, good representative sides. If you get level three coaching with the certification, you could be coaching some of the national teams. And that's a very good profession. Because in today's cricket world, a lot of money is made by the coaches. You know, the umpiring is there. So get the parents involved. Make coaches. All they have to do is have interest in the game and turn them into coaches.